says, every joy or trial falls from where? From above and ahead of us. Right? Not the joys are obviously, but also the trials. Traced upon our dial by the Son of Love. Right? We can mark that thing, right? That it's coming from Him. We may trust Him fully, all for us to do. And here's the thing, it says, they who trust Him wholly, they that trust Him wholly, find Him wholly true. We're going to talk about that tonight in the lesson. So, Caleb knew that. That's why she picked this song.
And so, we started this less than a couple weeks ago. And so we're going to get back. We're going to have prayer in just a minute. You know, Pastor's forgetting. I'm not forgetting. I just wondered why we had that. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for the time tonight. Thank you for each one that's here tonight. Lord, I do pray that you'd meet with us. Lord, as we desire to meet with you. So, Lord, I pray that you'd bless now. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Good evening, everybody. You know, it's always good to just think that everyone has a part in what we do here. And some of us do cleaning. Some of us do things behind the scenes that we don't see. But Wednesdays, I'm always looking forward to just getting up here and hearing praises, but seeing prayers answered. And I do spend time focusing on this myself, and I know we all do. But if you have your green handout with the updated prayers, until last week, I didn't have one, so now we're moving forward and we're up to date. But with that, I'm going to ask Miss Cheryl, we had some prayers that you asked for. If you don't mind, can you give us an update on those?
Victoria's daughter, Emily, had a bowel brain surgery yesterday. And she said, thanks for the prayers, because they were able to get more cysts off her brain than they even hoped for. She's going to be there a while. She's got to learn, I guess, to pop and swallow again and some other issues. So, and then Trish, they have found out she's got lungs, liver, bone, and maybe stomach cancer so far. And she's just not doing very well. And just pray that for her and Tony, that he knows how to, you know, he's been going through cancer himself. He's had two rounds of it. And just, you know, just got to clean all the health. Now she's there. So just pray for them that God will be with them and give them mercy. And then he goes to the neurologist Friday, so hopefully we'll find out something there.
And Mary, her friend Mary, that they didn't expect her to live. She was back at a hospital in Cape Canaveral. She lost
her left leg from the knee down, and her toes on the other foot. She is now in behind in Melbourne.
And still with us on this side. That is answer to prayer. You never know what the Lord will do through that and through her being in the hospital. So, again, just we can praise the Lord on that because, yeah.
So, who is Trish? Is that?
You know, Tony, that's coming. It's his wife.
Oh, it's his wife.
All right, so thank you for that update. And then I see on here Miss Liz, who's not in her place. And again, I hate when I don't see people in her places, but she's got some relief from her back pain, so that's answers to prayer. And we continue to pray. Anything different?
She got back from Oklahoma. She got
and it worked well for us. So, praise the Lord. Amen. So amen.
Without her,
that's a lot. Amen. Amen. And then you have the tickets purchased for Sri Lanka.
Yes.
So that's a praise. again, I bet you're looking forward to going. So not only has he got the tickets, but beforehand, let's pray that the Lord opens doors before they even go for things that'll happen.
Yeah, I can tell you a few things.
Okay.
We've already got some doors open. Two of the people that I plan on using as far as our team, I've already been in contact with them. And one of them I've got in contact, and she said, said yes, I can help. And the other one, another friend of mine is going to be meeting her on Sunday and talking to her about it. And we've scheduled, so the Sorrells, they used to be up north, and they could speak Tamil. And so we've scheduled already, we're getting there, it'll be Thursday, 2 o'clock in the morning when we get there. On the Sunday, we've already scheduled an evangelistic meeting to go and preach, and he's going to preach in Tamil for him. So he just, one of the friends, I said, hey, can we can teach Jesus to him? I said, okay, if you want us to, we'll be there. He said, okay, so we scheduled a meeting to go, and while we're there, to get to do that. Of course, that's, I don't want to say it's not our goal. It's always our goal, and so the opportunity is there, so that's a great thing. And to introduce the Sorrells to the ministry that we worked in up there, it's going to be great to have him be connected to continue with those folks. And I think we've got another one a little further up. And so we're excited. We're excited, and the Sorrells are excited to take us around. And it's already started.
So that's more than a praise, they just getting tickets, right?
Amen.
Brother Dave.
I was just wondering, are the Sorrells, the missionaries that are there, can they play that music?
Well, they're the ones that came here.
Okay.
They came here. Right. They're actually still in the States. They came back just, matter of fact, his dad had died, so they're settling his estate. He gets gallbladder, he had several things. He just got cleared and called me. While we were at the conference, he called me and said, I just got cleared to travel. So we're heading back next. We're going to get there about a week before we get there. And so, but that's
good.
Yeah, amen. First of all.
So Victoria, how is she doing?
Her blood pressure was a little iffy there for a while, but so far right now, that's all I know. I'll probably get an update tonight to my daughter.
She's doing well.
Right, and she'll have to have another brain surgery later on.
Okay.
And she didn't have to get the vertebrae removed for the one on her spine, but they thought they might have to. So that was a big thing, too. God was really good.
Thank you.
And this is how I love it, when everybody starts talking. No, that's a blessing, because that's how we get updates, and that's how we know to pray more specifically. So please, don't ever stop or think like, that's what we're here for, to lift one another up. It's amazing. So I haven't picked on Brother Joe in a long time. So, Brother, I know you had some prayers in the past. Just picking people out tonight. Any updates or anything that you need to add to the list?
Well, the pain in Robin's neck is still there. I'm paying for that. I go to Mayo on 24th, there's a more test in one day. See the cardiologist.
All right. So let's just, we'll add them to your list for upcoming medical procedures. That everything goes well and better than you can expect. That's fine, that's all good.
My cousin Sheila is having a double bypass and a valve replaced in her heart on the 19th at Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville.
All right, so the doctors who are working on Sheila get wisdom from above, and their hands are guided for what takes place on the 19th. How's that sound? Just dropping down to the bottom, certainly we're going to pray for Pastor and Miss Jessica going over to Sri Lanka, but keep that translation, the things that are happening. More books are being translated. So certainly that is moving forward fast, and that's a good thing. And then also let's not forget the Fergusons on the West Coast doing, seems like, a great work over there. I know when they were here visiting and just giving an update, it's just amazing how much things changed since they got there, constantly moving forward. So again, for us to be a part of our missionaries that we support, we can't take for granted just our love and our finances that we give, offerings and helping them out in the field. Certainly, we will be rewarded for that in heaven someday. So, with that, if anybody else has a request. The nursing home ministry, yes. Okay. And that's Thursday at 6:30. And then...
School starts Monday.
School Monday. Keep that in prayer. She's family, of course she can. I'll tell her on video tonight.
Yeah.
Yes, you're welcome to.
So she asked for a request for her coworker, her name is Haley. I said she was abused by her boyfriend and there was kind of other situations that she works with, but it's given her the opportunity to witness to her and to talk to her and just give her the gospel. Haley has agreed to do a Bible study with her every Saturday.
Nice.
So she's going to start some type of a discipleship program. I have encouraged her to ask her church, but if not, that she could use the discipleship that we use. So, of course, we take her all through salvation.
Right.
But just pray for Haley and joy as she is excited to use this opportunity to tune with the Peter Saints. H-A-Y-L-E-Y is her name.
And that goes back to what we were encouraged. If we all reach one person and start discipling by the end of the year, we'd be full in here. So that was, we were challenged on that. I'm not going to let you forget that. So I got to witness to a gentleman across the street today. So it was good. He's offered to let us borrow his lift to clean his people, but he did notice all the changes. We had a great conversation, and it's a blessing. Bob was his name, right? I gave you the paper. So he's offered to give us the equipment he has over there right now, whenever we need it. So pray for our neighbors, because they do see the differences of things that are happening as they're going by. And with that said, if no one else has anything, we'll split up and take their prayers to the Lord, and let's see what He does. And certainly He'll always hear our prayers, but it's great to see His hand in it, and then we get to share the results of good answered prayer. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Let's turn the Bibles to the book of Proverbs tonight. We started this study a few weeks ago. And we got about halfway through it. And so here we are, second half. So Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." I want to just say a couple things before we get into this. I've got some devotional booklets that I've produced. I put out here. They're going to be right in the wall here. It's really a little bit different. It gives a little introduction how to use that. But it's meant to really cause us to search our own hearts. I like the Word of God to speak to us. It'll change us if we'll let it. And, and I've said this before. You've heard me say this. We get a lot of preaching. Amen. We get a lot of preaching. And we get a lot of instruction in the Word of God. And so my goal in that wasn't really give more of that, but really give something that we could maybe try to get some introspective in our own lives. Anyway, so those are there. If you take... maybe take one at a time, and so there'd be, use that. It's about a week long, and it's meant to be one day, one per day. It's so we started last time. Number one, we must choose to let God's Word direct our lives, right? And so we find this thing, and then, forget it not. There's a decision to not forget the law. But let thine heart, you're making a choice to let your heart keep the commandments. And then the second thing was God's ways. God's way leads to God's blessings, right? And in verse 2, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. And so there's a blessing in following God's way. Amen? I've heard this a lot, and I've heard it again recently. Somebody was saying, and I'm going to tell you, we talk a lot about, knowing where you're going to spend eternity, going to heaven. We want to talk about, get saved so you go to heaven. Man, that's a long time away. For me, it's a long time away. Just kidding. It's not as long as it used to be, right? So, but man, I'd hate to say, and however many, 70, 80, 90 years, then you get your reward. No, it's right now, right? Long life and the joy of that, but there's so many things. Number three, though, this is a continual choice. It's a continual choice. Look at verse 3 now. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. Okay, A, God's character must remain before us, okay, in front of us, before us. Number one, Solomon moves from God's commandments to the character they are intended to produce. Okay, we talk about God's commandments, but then it's not just rules to follow, right? God isn't just giving us a list of rules. If the only reason we have rules is just so people can follow us, so that we can be proud that we're followed, we've got a problem, right? And God isn't that way. God gives us some commands to build some character. It's about really coming to this, they're intended to create some and produce character in us. So mercy and truth are repeatedly used throughout the Old Testament to describe the Lord Himself. We could find in Exodus 34:6, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. And maybe the one we're more familiar with, Psalm 25:10. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep His covenant and His testimonies. God is often really related and described with mercy and truth. That is God, is it not? He is truth, but He's also merciful. Amen? One without the other is not very nice. Right? Commands without mercy? Man, that's, I don't want that. But mercy without truth, what good is that? Right? So, both ways. A, God's Word is intended to transform us into His likeness. Right? I've already said that once tonight. I did already say that. We're going to talk about. So God's Word, it's intended to transform us. It's not intended for us to just hear it and have it and memorize it and know it. Those are good things. Amen. Those are good things. But if all we do is get the Word of God and get the understanding of it and get the knowledge of it, all we do is just get that, but we don't let it transform us, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen is we're not going to really understand the ways of the Lord. No, we're not going to really understand the peace of God. We're not going to understand the mercy of God. We're not going to really understand what God is dealing with us if we don't let it change us. So I say let it change us. I don't think it's us doing the changing. It's really us letting God direct us. So are all of His ways pleasant? Scripturally, yes. But emotionally, no. Because you know what I want? I want what I want every time. I want my way every single time. But my way, a lot of times, is not the good way. I mean, not evil, but hopefully. No, but it's not really what's best for me. So number two, life continually pressures us to abandon one or both of those characteristics of God, truth and mercy. So A, hurt. You ever been hurt? Yeah. Hurt can tempt us to lose mercy. You know what it takes to hurt us? That was my answer. That's a good answer. You got not much. You know, some people have been hurt so much that now it takes so little to hurt them anymore. They've lost mercy. And so people go around living their lives and you're just waiting for them to mess up in front of you so you could call them out on it. You just want, because you've been hurt. Hurt, being hurt can cause us, can tempt us to lose mercy. And so now we have no mercy with people, and people do stupid stuff all the time. You know who those people are? Kayla and Katie. Yeah. All of us. We do things. When I say stupid, what I mean by stupid, that's stupid is sometimes can be a mean word, I know. But I don't mean it this way. I mean, well, maybe I do. But I mean it this way. Sometimes, what I want to say, sometimes ignorant. You make a joke, you think it's funny, you mean it to be funny, and it hurts somebody because you don't know what's going on in their day. You ever been around somebody that no matter what you do, they seem to be hurt by it? You say something nice and they're hurt. You say something funny, they're hurt. You say nothing, and then they're hurt about that. It just becomes like there's this, you know what happens? I'm telling you, folks, once we get hurt, and we get hurt a little bit, we become, you know, we say this, hurt people, but hurt people also, what they do is they lose mercy. And so what happens is we change how we perceive life. No, what happens is when we lose mercy, we don't have mercy with anybody. But you know what we don't lose? A desire for people to be merciful to us. Isn't that funny how that works? I want you to show me mercy, but I'm all out. I got none for you. Isn't that funny how we won't even correlate that? We won't even think about the fact of, well, you know, I want them, but I ain't got no time for them. We don't even correlate that in our mind, because when we're hurt, we can be tempted to lose that characteristic of mercy. And man, it's such a difficult thing. And when we lose that, and so, but life is pressuring us to abandon those characteristics. And then B, pressure, pressure can tempt us to abandon truth. No, we're pressured to do something. Come on. You can just do it once. Just once. Come on. Just keep coming. You ever had somebody just keep on you? They're just on you and on you and on you. Like, would you quit? Would you quit? No, I'm not going to. And you could kind of lose your mercy. Right? But what can happen is finally what will happen. Somebody say, well, okay, if I just do it once, will you stop? You ever don't have to say it, but you've heard of somebody that said that before? Right? Okay, fine. I'll just do it once if you'll stop. Because doing it once, that makes them stop, right? No. Doesn't make it matter. Actually makes them know they got it. So pressure. Pressure by people can cause us to lose truth. Now here's C. It's a little different one. Success tempts us to neglect them both. So when we have a little bit of success, we can be tempted to neglect both mercy and truth, because sometimes success takes sacrifices. And I have to sacrifice mercy. Hey, it's about who I have to step on to get, right? It's who I have to do. Or, hey, listen, I know I've got to, you know, fudge the numbers a little bit, or I've got to do this or that a little bit. Hey, you got to do everything. You got to do something. Success can tempt us to abandon both of those characteristics of God. So three, we must make a conscious decision that we will not let them be forsaken. And this is really what he's saying. Verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Don't let them forsake thee. It's you're making a choice. There's a continual choice is really what we're getting at tonight. So B, God's character must become part of who we are. Okay, listen, God's character, these things, mercy, who God is, we've got to let that become part of who we are. And verse 3 goes on, bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. Okay, so number one, binding them about thy neck speaks of something that is continually in front of you. Right? Like this thing. It's there. You know, you see, men, here's what happens with ties. You either check it constantly or you walk around like this. You know, you got guys, you're walking. You ever seen a guy up there preaching, he's got his tie backwards? Isn't it so distracting? And you just want to be like. And then you don't know, and the guy starts wiping his nose like, what? You know, I hate it. I hate it. You see a preacher up there, he got something weird on him. And my wife sometimes thinks she's going to help me, but she wants to be discreet. And I'm just like, what? Like my, you know, I'm like, what? Yeah, you know, I'm just like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Now I am gone, and I'm thinking, what? You know, and no matter if I fix it, I don't know. I'm still just so. Once they're up there, it's like, oh, man. So when something is bound about your, you're like, where are you going with that? I almost forgot for a minute. Okay, when something is bound about your neck, it's in front of you. It's the idea is that it's right there in front of you constantly. So it is to be a constant part of our character. So, and this is the thing that we want God, these things, God's character to be so much in front of us. So we're to be intentional in how we interact in this life. So when I say intentional, sometimes we say stuff like that. You're like, yeah, you need to be intentional. Oh, yeah. Sometimes we say phrases, we don't even know what they mean. Right? Intentional means on purpose. It means I'm thinking about doing that. Right? The men, we've been challenged the past couple of weeks to do some kind of service, to kind of be a servant to someone, and then come back and tell it in Sunday school. I just realized we're not going to have men's Sunday school this week, so we're going to have to save it for two. You got 2 weeks to work on one, man. And so we're thinking, we're trying to be intentional to think about doing this thing or that other thing. Listen, it's not just while we're at church. So I'm going to tell on the men for a minute. Last 2 weeks ago, we made the challenge. Then last week, Brother Eddie says, okay, I'm excited to tell us who's got that we were challenged to tell who was able to do this. Yeah. All of a sudden we all, and I'm the one that gave the challenge. And I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot I challenged. I was a kind of a whim challenge, and look what I did. And so of course, I was able to say how, you know, we were in a place where they served us, and it was, you know, so it was on the other end of that. Not exactly what my challenge was, but I said something. So intentional means we are really looking for that occasion. So it's not just while we're at church. Mercy and truth are guardrails, right? That are keep us in the way of the Lord, right? So mercy, I'm just telling you folks, if you will just show mercy to everyone, just everyone. I wish I didn't say that because now I'm thinking about all the people today that I had somebody in front of me today driving. Almost a lot of stories start there. And I don't know. I didn't see, and I don't. I'm going to assume they were older or on their phone. Right. One of those two. But they was just up there and got up to. There's no stop sign. I'm trying to leave Lowe's, trying to get back here, and they just. And there's no stop sign. They just, and then to turn, and so I went around them, and I thought, you know, I'm not even going to look back. I didn't, you know, look. My mercy was I didn't give them a dirty look. No, I don't give dirty looks. I'm kidding. But sometimes, you know, thinking about being merciful to people, people need mercy. You know, it's a good practice for us is to think people have maybe a positive reason why they did what they did. Seriously. Why are they going slow? Maybe they're trying to kill time because they don't have a happy home. And they're trying to go slow because maybe there's abuse at home. You know what I'm saying? You're like, that doesn't sound positive. I'm just saying maybe they're not just being a jerk. Yeah, there you go. I think one way is to think everybody isn't trying to do something to you. Right? And when something happens, I'm telling you, it'll be a guardrail to keep us in the character of God. Really will. And then truth is that other guardrail. It keeps us in that place because those are the two things. We're bound to try to slip out of this one. Well, should I do that or not? Well, you know, God's truth is there. His commandments, His instruction. But then that can keep pushing us over this way to where we become so harsh that we kind of lose mercy. And so it's that guardrail to keep us in. But you know what I don't want to do with guardrails? I don't really want to hit them. If you hit a guardrail, you mess up your truck. I've totaled a truck that way, a couple. So you don't really want to hit those things. It's meant to keep us inside that. So look, number two is just write them upon the tables of thine heart. Keep that, be intentional with that thing. A, what begins as intentional behavior becomes part of who we are. And that's how that works. So the goal is not just outward conformity. How you doing? Fine. Right? I didn't say anything mean. You know, but it's not enough. Conformity isn't enough. Conformity breaks. If you're conformed to something, it's going to break. You can't hold that up. You can't fake very long. None of us are very good at it. I mean, some people become professionals at it, but it's not a very pleasant life. So the goal is inward transformation. Transformation. You say, you know, I just have a hard time with this. It means you haven't transformed yet. Okay, and that's okay to admit. We're all God's still working on me, right? But if I'm still having a difficult time with someone or something or a situation, it's really God, you know, I haven't let Him transform me. And so God's still doing something there. So see, this character of God in us produces a continual influence. It's an interesting thing. Look here in verse 4. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Okay, number one, godly character earns credibility and favor. Okay, it's a good report. Here's what he's saying. Listen, both, it says both in the sight of God and man. So it produces So this character that he's talking about, what God's talking about, this situation of keeping his commandments, this mercy and truth, it produces favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. What an amazing thing. When mercy and truth mark our lives, people are more willing to trust us. What a strange thing. Because I follow God, well, people don't like God. That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I can remember many years ago, there was this guy that he was just so anti-God, anti-everything. I was pretty newly saved, called to preach, and I probably hung out on the guardrail of truth. You know what I mean? I mean, I just bashed into that thing. Mercy was probably blown out, you know. But I was just, trying to do this thing. Finally one day he comes in. Everything he ever had to say to me was just contrary, just hateful towards me. One day he comes in, sits down, and he said, "Can I ask you about something?" It was like a different tone. Like, I never heard this guy talk. Who's this guy? You know, it's a different tone. His teenage daughter was in a mess and different things. And all of a sudden, the guy I thought just hated me. I think he still did hate me. Well, it didn't change that he hated me or not. But there became trust. When mercy and truth mark our lives, people, and I didn't say they automatically will. I'm saying they're more willing. We are in the Proverbs here. They're more willing to trust us. B, they will hear our words, receive our counsel, and entrust us with responsibility. At least they'll be more willing to. Okay, it's not an exact thing here, but it's fascinating. Listen, but number two, but it also produces good understanding. Okay, this is really fascinating. This part here. So, A, living according to God's design actually helps us think correctly. Okay, in some sense. Okay. So you're like, Pastor, I know that doesn't work because I know. No, anyway. So it's that B. The more we resemble God, the more clearly we understand both Him and the people around us. The more we resemble God, the more we understand people, the more we understand that everybody isn't out to get me. Do y'all believe that? Some of y'all don't act like it. I don't mean y'all, but I mean, sometimes it's like, you know, people aren't out to get me. I think when I'm on the road, I think everybody wants to kill me. Right? Especially going down one. I'm going down there the other day. We're going down the Tuesday. I went down there. And there's just, I'm a truck, you know, I mean, I'm in a truck. And this little car is over here, just right in front of me, just kind of swerving in my lane. I'm like, you ain't going to win. I mean, you might bump me, but it's going to, you know. We totaled a car that bumped, that rear-ended our RV, and I thought I hit a pothole. Totaled their car. You know, I mean, this is kind of people. But anyway, I'm seeing this, and I'm thinking, when I see people like that, I want to get past them because I don't know what they're going to do. I go up there. I told my wife, I said, it's somebody older. It's somebody our age. You know? I mean, it wasn't a kid. She's on her phone, just not very well, you know. And I'm like, okay, sometimes you're on a map. I get to, you pull up the map, you're like, am I lost? Okay. But no, just the whole way. I don't know. Scrolling. There's some good videos or something. I don't know what it was. But listen, the more we resemble God, the more we're going to understand people. And we're going to understand not only God, but understand people, and we'll be willing to give them mercy. Right? Godly character shapes our perception of this world. Okay? It shapes how we see this world. It's a God. We see the world Godwardly, right? In that kind of way. Number four, Romans 4. The culmination of this life is Trust in the Lord. Look at verse 5. Maybe you've heard this one before. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. How many's ever heard that one? Yeah. We know that one. We know that one, but this is the culmination of the verses before that. This is really the logical conclusion of verses 1 through 4, right here. So, A, the heart that has chosen God's direction. So the heart that has chosen God's direction and embraced God's character is ready to trust God completely. So biblical trust is confident dependence upon the Lord. That's really what biblical trust in the Lord means. It means I'm going to confidently depend on Him. I'm not going to, well, what's going to happen? I don't know what's going to happen. No, that's not really very confident. Now, it's okay to say, I don't know what's going to happen, and that's okay. Confident dependence upon the Lord. That's what trust. And it's with most of your heart. No, all thine heart. So, number one, we do not have a divided allegiance when there is no competing authority. Okay? So when there's no competing authority, who's in charge of my life? We don't have a divided allegiance, right? So which really is B. Trust rejects self-direction. That's what trust does. Trust rejects self-direction. I'm in charge of my life. Nobody can tell me what to do. No, listen, that's divided allegiance. I'm going to decide what I want to do, and I'll let God decide some of the other things. I'll let God decide at church, and I'll decide everywhere else. No, that's a divided. Listen, trust rejects self-direction. Number one, the temptation is not in rejecting God entirely. Okay, the temptation is not to entirely reject God. The temptation is to supplement God's wisdom with our own. Aren't you glad we're here to help Him? You know when we supplement God's wisdom with ours? When His way becomes difficult. When His way becomes difficult, we supplement it with our ideas and our way. Human understanding is limited. Amen? God's wisdom is perfect. So, number two, trust is demonstrated when God's word disagrees with our own reasoning. No. I'm saying that's when trust is really demonstrated. When this book disagrees with my reasoning. Well, this is what would really make sense. This is what would help me. This is what would help my career. This is what would help my paycheck. This is what would help this and that. The other good reasoning. But when it disagrees, when this Word of God disagrees with me, that's when trust is really demonstrated. The person who has already decided to let God's way govern his heart is the very person who is prepared to trust the Lord with all of his heart. But there has to be that decision to let God govern the heart. So we have a little conclusion here tonight. Just seven things. No, I'm kidding. Verse 1 begins with the command. It's really this. Do not forget God's instruction. But keep it in your heart. That's what it begins with. And then verse 5 brings us the test of it. Will I trust the Lord when my own understanding points in another direction? The second grows naturally out of the first. See, me making the decision comes out of me following the command. God's wisdom must first be kept in the heart. Because the moment will come when trusting Him requires us to set our own judgment aside. So there's going to come a time, like daily, regularly. When I say there's going to come a time, I mean it comes constantly. That we're going to have to set aside what I
think is the best choice, because when I think it's the best choice, self-direct of what pleases me, I'm going to have to set that aside to what pleases God. You say, well, how do I know if it pleases God? I'm talking about what is command, the truth, right? The truth. Sometimes we get a little mixed up with that. Well, sometimes we feel bad about God giving us our way. I don't think we need to feel bad about that. God will give us the desires of our heart. But there are times when we know that I'm outside of this, and God said, well, you know what? God, can you imagine this? God says, I'm giving you this opportunity to say no to it. I am allowing this to come into your life so you can demonstrate your trust in me. Well, God, if I do that, people are going to think I'm an idiot. That's okay. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. And all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. I'm telling you, it's a wonderful, wonderful life. It will become where people will give trust. People will give us ear. Sometimes we have to go through some of that stuff just to get the occasion to share Christ with them. I wish it was easier. I wish it cost me nothing and only him everything. Isn't that kind of how we think sometimes? But God will give us the occasion to trust him. Father, I pray that you would help us with this truth. Really, a well-known passage tonight, Lord, that we look at. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to really make the continual choice to intentionally keep your character before us until it becomes us. Lord, we'll give you thanks and praise for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Have a good week.